I want you to turn to Psalm 139, verse 17. And yes, I know it's for the third week in a row, but this is really a key and a very important one for us. And today the Lord has instructed me to talk about healing His body and His blood. And it's really going back to the basics today. And not anything brand new, but things we need to get settled within us. 17th verse of Psalm 139. In verses 13, in that area, it's talking about us being formed. It's talking about us all over. So in verse 17 here, how precious are also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Next verse. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand, and I would add, of the sea. And we've said before, when we were talking about God's love for us, that we've got to understand that you are on His mind constantly. And I don't know about you, but that's an overwhelming thought to me, to think that the God of the universe is going to have me on His mind at all times. And then we talked about in this verse, what are some of the thoughts He has? And we looked at them. Last week we introduced a new verse, and it's Isaiah 53, the 10th verse. One of the thoughts He has on you, and let me just say, His thoughts are His will. You can't separate that. His thoughts are His will. And in Isaiah 53, the 10th verse, King James says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, sickness, weakness, afflicted him. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin," and then it starts talking about us, "he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days," and this last verse, "and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Now, let's break that down for just a minute again, because this is just so much. It pleased the Lord to afflict him, to put him to sickness, to make him sick. And we know that he was made sick so that we didn't have to. What a great exchange we have there. But the part that hits me about that is it pleased the Lord to do that to his son. And so the question is, why? Because of his great love for Link. Amen. Because of his great love for Shannon. That has got to be one of those thoughts that you know he's thinking about, that he put Jesus to grief for you. It has got to be personal. It pleased the Lord. It was his will. And then know that since it is his will, it's something that Jesus is praying about. And as part of this, the last part of that verse says, "And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Jesus, our covenant partner, the mediator of our covenant, the guarantee of our covenant, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now, I need to take a break from where we are right now, and I want to talk about a verse that the Lord gave me last night. And so if you'll get ready to go to Jeremiah 25. And I'll tell you the verse in a minute because I don't want you reading ahead. In this chapter, Amaziah has become king and he's needing to go to war. So he's marshaled his troops and set them up in order. He was over Judah. He's gone to Israel and gotten some of their troops. Ephraim was separated at that time. He went to them and paid them to come. 100 talents, I believe it said. And then the man of God comes to him in this chapter and says, "Nope, you can't take them with you because the Lord's not with them. And we don't want to go anywhere when the Lord's not with us." And so in the 9th verse of this chapter, so 25, verse 9, The man of God is standing there with him. It's not Jeremiah, it's 2 Chronicles. I didn't even turn to it. 2 Chronicles. Sorry, Bruce. That's what I get from going from memory. So he turns to him and says to the king, or the king says to the man of God, "But what shall we do about the 100 talents which I've given the troops of Israel?" Let me stop there now. Look at me. How often do we let the little things that have happened rise up and seem so important for us? How often do we take the things that we've done or that we are doing or that we are working on and we elevate them to such importance that they take precedent a lot of times? That's what's happening here. And look at what the man of God answered him. "The Lord is able to give you much more than this." The Lord is able to give you much more than this. Now, this is talking about 100 talents and prosperity. And the Lord woke me up this morning and told me to share this. And it really fits in with what Trey has been teaching. Started a Bible study last night on prosperity. How often do we say, "Well, Lord, if you'll bless me a little bit, I'll be okay"? The Lord is able to give you much more than that. How often, dealing with healing as we are today, do we say, "Well, Lord, I'm just going to take this aspirin, or I'm going to take this, and it's going to help my symptoms, and I'm okay with that"?
Right.
The Lord is able to give you much more than that. And so, what do? We settle, we give in and are satisfied with less than Jesus paid for on the cross. And he didn't say, "I've given you a degree of healing." He said, "You are healed." So I want us to take this as encouragement. We need to, what he's trying to do, I believe, with this is raise our sights. Raise our expectation so that we're seeing on a higher spiritual plane what is available to us. Because you're going to have a hard time receiving something you can't see in the spirit realm. You know, and I'll make this statement and you can Selah it for a while. So often in the Bible when people are receive or the need to receive, the word says they would look up. Jesus did this. I don't believe that Jesus was just looking up at a blue sky. I believe he was looking up to see in the spirit realm so that he could reach up and pull down what he was seeing for this physical realm. That's what we need to do today. We need to be able to not look and say, "Okay, I'm satisfied with what I see physically going on, even within our body." But we need to look up and say, "The Lord is able to give me much more than this." Now, let's get plugged back into where I was going today with that exhortation from us. And I want you to go to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. And as we talk today, we're going to kind of start at the end in just a moment and work our way back on healing and look at the crucifixion and resurrection. It's an interesting time as it's the week of Passover and it's the week when we celebrate Resurrection Sunday this coming weekend. And so in the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 6th verse, the Lord says about the children of Israel. Now we've got to understand and have this identification that they are a type of what the church is today. So this applies to you just as it applies to them. And that is a covenant promise goes back to Abraham. And we just saw in the verse before, in 53:10, that Jesus is going to execute that will, that pleasure. So he's responsible for this. This is how the Lord sees us, and this is how we need to see ourselves. So look up to this level. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. Are there times you don't feel holy? Ignore the feelings. The Word says, you are a holy people to your Lord, to the Lord your God. The Lord has got, your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love nor on you nor choose you because we were more in number than any of the peoples, but because we were the fewest. And this is where I want you to begin to really see it. He did this because the Lord loves you. And he kept the oath which he swore to his forefathers. Now, what does oath infer? A covenant relationship. So we're back to this covenant, and that's going to be key today. The Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Now let me stop there and say, we have to see this verse through the lens of the cross and the resurrection. This is not about your performance. This verse applies to you because Jesus fulfilled the law and fulfilled these requirements. So don't make this about you saying, I've got to be perfect, I've got to love just right, I've got to keep all the commandments. No, because Jesus did it, this belongs to you. And that takes a lot of pressure off us, because as we're looking for healing and the devil comes and says, you don't deserve this, look at what you said to your spouse yesterday, look at what you said to this person 10 years ago. What do we say back to him? It's not about me, it's about what Jesus did. And again, remind him of the chains that are rattling, to fixing to bind him up and where he's going, and that you've got an everlasting covenant with the Lord. Now look on down to verse 12 here. Then it shall come about. So we've been brought back in this covenant. We've been brought into this covenant. We've been rescued, redeemed, purchased out of it. Things that we had taken away from us, the Lord is restoring. And this says, then it shall come about because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them. Again, Jesus did them. That the Lord your God will keep you with his covenant. He's going to keep you with his covenant. His covenant are the words that he spoke, his will concerning you. So he's keeping you according to his words and his loving kindness. So that's why we could have a session back on March 16th. Called healed by his love, because he's working by his covenant, and he gave that covenant because of his love for you. Keep on reading here with me. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, your grain, your new wine, your oil, that which we use as means of living today, our work. The increase of your herd and the young flock in the land which he swore to give to your forefathers. And then it says, you shall be blessed above all peoples.
Yes.
You shall be blessed above all peoples, not because of how good I am, thank goodness, not because of how much I read my Bible or pray, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, I am now a joint heir with him, subject to all of the benefits of that. You shall be blessed above all people, and now it gets into things we're talking about with healing. There shall be no male or female barren among you or your cattle. Let me say it this way. There's no lack. There's nothing lacking to make you live a long and prosperous life. It's all been provided for. And the Lord will remove from you, what's that next word? All, not just part of sickness, all sickness. Now let's go back to that 2 Chronicles 25:9 verse. Are we going to look and say, well, Lord, if you'll just deliver me from this, I can handle these other things? Or are we going to say, I'm giving it all to you. All to you. That's your promise. I want it the most I can have. And you have a right to set your sights on that and expect it, because God has covenanted with you to do it. Before we go on, just say this with me. The Lord loves me.
The Lord loves me.
He blesses me.
He
multiplies me. He blesses my children and their children.
He blesses my children and my children.
He blesses my work.
He blesses my work.
There is no lack amongst me.
There is no lack amongst me.
He will remove all sickness from me.
He will remove all sickness from me.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Above all peoples.
Above all peoples.
Spirit.
Spirit.
Soul.
Soul.
And body.
And body.
Now, when you say that, do you feel something rising up in you? Set your sights up. I just don't know how to say this anymore. I got that word similar to that back in September in a dream in August of 2011. And what the Lord told me, the first dream was about a friend, and we were out, and it's not pertinent to what was going on, but he came to me and said, I want you to be bold and courageous above all things. He said, men, the Lord tells me to tell you that. Be bold and courageous. Well, you know, that word means the same thing. So boldness is not a personality trait. Boldness is having confidence, trust, that we talked a little bit about last week, in the Lord, that he's going to do what he said. His word, his will. And it will prosper in the hand of Jesus, who's my covenant partner. Second dream, I'm back at Georgia Tech. And I've got finals. And for some reason, I always had this dream, I'm not ready for them. But this day, I was ready. And I went in to take the test, and about halfway through the test, and finals lasted 3 hours there. The professor says, okay, if you're happy with your, if you'll take one grade less than your current grade, you can get up and leave. You don't have to finish it. I saw myself get up and leave. Next day I went to a test. It was physics. I remember what that one was. And we sat down, and the professor says, before I hand this out, if you're satisfied with your grade, you don't have to even take the test, if you'll take one grade less. And I got up and left. And that next day, the Lord spoke to me and said, you disrespect Jesus and his work when you're willing to settle for less than is available to you. And isn't that exactly what the verse we looked at earlier? The Lord is able to give you much more than this. So today we're raising our eyes. And that's pertinent because... Remember when the children of Israel were told to raise their eyes and look at that brazen serpent? Type of Jesus. That's what we want to do today. So I want to start with the end in mind. 1 Peter 2:24. And in healing school, we're prone to quote just the last part of that. But I want us to see, it says, and he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So he's talking about sin here. That we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness. He bore them. He took them. Well, if he took them, if he took my punishment, I am a fool if I take it again. And then it says, by whose stripes you were healed. So what is it that brings healing in this walk that Jesus had? to the cross? Those stripes. In I think it's John 19 or 20, the first verse says, "And Pilate took him, therefore, and he scourged him." That's the part that this verse tells us, and that Matthew 8:17 corroborates. If you think this is dealing with, I'm healed spiritually, go to look what the Holy Spirit says about it in Matthew 8:17, because he's talking about physical body. And so we see that there. Now, remove it. Old Testament atonement means covering. They did it every year, over and over. So what did they do? They made the sacrifices and it took away the sin one time for that year. And then they had to do it again. Hebrews tells us that Jesus did this and entered into the Holy of Holies himself once for all. Does that include you and I? For all eternity. So that says to me, he's taken it away. What did they do with the scapegoat? They led it away. Why? So that they could have a physical image of that sin being taken away from them. So why are we so sin conscious? Why do we let the enemy condemn us? Which all he's doing is making us sin conscious in doing that. And then we get our eyes on that sin as if it's still here. But it has been removed. And we got to remember Isaiah 54. For whose sake did he remove our sin? He said, I did it for my sake. I said before, what father wants to remember their children by the bad things he did versus seeing them as perfect and holy? That's the thoughts that your father has of you. And when he took the sin away, the impact of sin, sickness, lack, anxiety, worry went with it. Carried away, just like that scapegoat was led out. Now, what do? We take communion, the meal that heals. Are we taking communion Sunday? So go to 1 Corinthians 11. Yeah, we're good. And we're just going to read a few verses here. Start at 23. 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. So Paul is saying he got this not because he was there when he did the last covenant meal with him, or Passover meal with him, but he had the Lord tell him this, that the Lord Jesus on the same night which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance for me. Now his body, no bones were broken. But folks, his back was broken unmercifully. Do you realize that the lambs that were sacrificed, starting back with Passover, which we're going to look at in just a moment, all the way up through the time when they took the two lambs, each Passover, when they celebrated it, they were treated almost with honor, great respect. Your lamb was abused, persecuted, tormented, physically injured. No other lamb suffered that, but your lamb did it so that we don't have to. He took it away from us, so it's our right to say no. He continues on in the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim. King James, I believe, says show forth. Another translation says declare the Lord's death, and I would add, and his resurrection, until he comes. And then he talks about drinking that cup unworthily because we don't examine or revere the body. We tend to think of that examining ourselves and what do we do when we think about checking ourselves? Are we believing properly concerning the body? Most of the time we think about sin instead of thinking about his body and what was on his back for you and I. That's the worthiness that we want to esteem his body for, not confuse the matter and take it and look right back at ourselves concerning sin. And it says that because we do this, many are sickly. Because we focus on sin, we then think, because I sinned, I'm sick.
That's true.
But what it's saying is we don't appreciate, we don't elevate to look at his body in the spirit and what went on, and know that it took care of not only my sins, but my healing. It's ours. Now, go to Luke with me, the 22nd chapter, and we'll look at Luke's account in just a few verses of the Passover meal. In this account, we'll start with verse 13. Jesus had taken his disciples, and he told a couple of them, go prepare, find a room, and I'll come. And they do, and this is where it picks up in 13. So they went and found it, just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Next verse. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Okay? Then he said to them, with fervent desire. The Greek language says, with desire, desire. So what's that saying? Says he really wanted to do this. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Well, that makes me pause and say, why did Jesus want so badly to eat this Passover with him? Yeah, he knew it was his last Passover and his time on earth was about to come to an end, and I'm sure that influenced him some. But there's more to this. His mind is ever on you. Now, what does that have to do with his desiring? Look down at what he says next. And let's go to 19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this body which is given for you, do this in remembrance of me. What is he doing? Why did he want to desire it? He wanted to desire it so he could begin to tell them, I am the Passover lamb. This is what I am doing and giving for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then in the next verse, and in the same way, he took the cup after they'd eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. He's saying, I am pouring out my blood. I am giving up my body and its brokenness as far as his back was concerned for you. Now it's sad because about three verses later, the disciples are arguing about which one of them is the most important. And don't criticize them too much now that they didn't get it, because some of us waited a long time in our life before we finally got it, even when we had heard it some. His focus was on the people. You remember the scripture in Hebrews that says, for the joy set before him? I think it's Hebrews 12, 9, somewhere in there. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Now, I believe there's two things that was joy before him. One was the joy he got by fully obeying the Father's will. And what was the second? Jackie, Larry, Trey, Patricia. He saw, looking up in the future, each one of us. And he endured the cross. And how did he endure it? With joy. Now, if he endured the cross with joy when things come against us, that implies pretty strongly to me that I ought to be able to endure that with a degree of joy. I didn't say happiness, because happy results is a result of what happens too often. But I can look up too and see that same result, get that same result by that spiritual joy as he did. Now, I want to... We saw last week, in fact, go to it, Exodus 6, 6 through 9. Moses is talking to the children of Israel here, and he's telling them what the Lord says. The Lord's telling him what to say. And he says, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. That's one item. And I will deliver you, or I might say rescue you, from your bondage. That's the second one. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And then I will take you for my own people. These are the four cups that are represented in the Passover meal. Now, in the scriptures we read earlier, it says Jesus took a cup and he said, share in it. And then it says with a definite article, and he took the cup. This cup of redemption. This is what he's talking about here. And so in redemption, in celebrating for them Passover, for us communion, do you see that it's not just one thing? It's about he's rescuing us. He's bringing us out. He's paying our tab. And then he's taking us as his own, which means he's going to restore back everything we've lost.
That's right.
That's what we celebrate. That's what Passover is all about. Can you go back to Luke 4:18 again? When we quote this, a lot of times I do it only from the perspective of I'm anointed so I can minister these things. But we ought to also be saying this looking at what we get because of it. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, okay? That's what Jesus is saying, but we got to look at ourselves as receiving that gospel, as hearing it. He sent me to do what? Heal. So we have a right to be whole. He sent me to proclaim liberty, freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the impact of sin in our life. Not just sin, but from the impact of sin as well. Total freedom. So we see in these verses, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty. Here's that freedom again, those who are oppressed. So we see these same four items in this verse. As we say this, so we're celebrating this really every time we say this verse over ourselves. Now, in doing this, let's go to Exodus 12 and we'll go quickly through a few items that are pertinent for us today about the Passover. In Exodus 2, don't go there, but go to 12, it says in verses, the last three verses of that chapter, that the Father heard the groanings of his people, and then he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That tells me when things come against us and we put it forth in the air to him, that he does what? He hears us. Because you've got a new and better covenant than they had. So if he remembered it for them, then he's going to remember it for you. Now, I want to go through Exodus 12 and we'll look at just a few verses. When we study the Old Covenant, we don't do it just so we can understand their rituals. We do it so that we see how what they were doing pointed to the cross and what Jesus has already done for you and I. So when we look at these things, it is a finished work. First verse, 12th chapter of Exodus. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It shall be the first month of the year for you." To me, that says when we look at this sacrifice at the cross, at Resurrection Sunday, it ought to be for me a time to celebrate my being born again. It is a new beginning for me. It is a new beginning for me when I celebrate this. If I'm fighting an illness in my body, I can look at the cross and say, that sacrifice was for me. Therefore, as I celebrate and take communion, I have a new beginning physically. Don't condemn yourself. And we talked last week about breakthrough and how to sustain it. But if we can't sustain it, don't condemn yourself. But don't accept and stay where you are. Raise those sights. Look up. Because he's able to give you much more. The third verse says, "Speak to all the congregation." All is the key word there. On the 10th of the month, they are each one. So there's all in each one to take a lamb for themselves. According to their father's household, a lamb for each household. And we'll stop there. What is the theme there? All, everyone. What does that say to me? I'm included in this. My sins, just like all of their sins, we picked the lamb and it didn't exclude anybody. So the lamb that was sacrificed for me, Jesus, I'm included in everything they have. Now let me tell you, if you've got family that's not walking with the Lord, that is a great verse to stand on. Because it was the Lord's desire and the Lord's will that whole families came together to be brought into this. Then we look at verse 5. "Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old, and you may take it from the sheep or the goats." What does that tell us? That's Jesus. No sin. A year old, to me, represents innocence. You could say prime of life, too, but innocence. Now, it's interesting because they would take this lamb on the 10th and keep him to the 14th. And so there's 3 full days in there in between. Jesus ministered for what? 3 years, 3.5 years. They had a chance to examine him, to see him in every respect. In all he was doing in that time. Verse 6, "And you shall keep it to the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation is to kill it at twilight." So he's reinforcing your sins impacted this lamb, everybody in Egypt. That's the same true with us. Jesus bore the sins of the world. How great a love. A man will hardly give his life for a righteous person, but he gave it for us as unrighteous. How great a love. How great a love. Then verse 7. "Moreover, they shall take some of the blood after they've killed it and shall put it on the doorpost of the lintel of the houses in which they eat." That says to me, we've got to apply the blood to our own lives. It ain't going to do me no good for mama to always do it and me never do it. Trey's grandma, as I've heard him testify, went to the altar and prayed fervently for him. And she impacted because that opened the doors. But he had to receive it. This is what it's telling us. Now, if you look over in verse 22 is when it gives them the instruction of that same chapter, and it says, apply the hyssop, go into the house, apply with hyssop that blood on the doorpost, and then it says, and don't open the door, and don't go outside. That reminds me of John 15. And this is what we're trying to do. See, what does this mean to us? It means when that blood is applied to me, I want to abide there. Me and Roy, we just gonna sit down and we ain't going outside. And as long as I don't open that door to the sin that's outside in that world, me and Roy are protected. So we've got to abide with our Father like that. And we see that we can do that. Now, there are things that are going to come against us. Somebody might try to open the door for us. But if they do, who's got the authority? Back to what Trey's teaching on Sunday. We do. Look at verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. I can't have the blood placed upon me and not partake and bring it inside me. What does Robert tell us all the time about Scripture? Scripture that just gets in our head, that we hear and gets in our head, doesn't do us any good. We got to eat it. We got to take it in and get it inside of us for it to work for us. This is the same that they did. Let's go down to verse 11. Now in this manner, eat it with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Why would he tell them to be ready to travel while they're eating? Do we ever take communion and don't have an expectation of the result it's going to bring us? He's telling them to have an expectation that I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to take you out of here. And we got to remember, how did they go out? Psalm 105:37. Rich and without any feeble amongst them. Amen. Do you imagine some of them were eating that meal that night saying still, how are we going to get Granny out of here? She's been on this cot for the past 10 years. Now, do you reckon they put sandals on her? Because that's what they were instructed to do. So that she could next morning walk out with them. Have that expectation. I am able to give you much more than what we settle for. And then in verse 12, for I will go through the land on that night and will strike down all the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast. And against the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment, for I am the Lord. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. That means you and I. Mm-hmm. But John tells us, the book of John tells us a little later, that the evil one has already been judged. So do you see that Jesus didn't come to judge you? He came to redeem you, to rescue you, to restore all that you have lost, to bring you back to himself. Now, with that, let's go to Isaiah 53 and we'll close here with these scriptures. We could go through the gospel accounts and look at the picture, the physical view of the cross. This chapter gives us the view of the cross from the Father's eyes. This is the view we see when we look up in the spirit realm. And we're just going to go through it. We've taught it before. Trey's taught it as well. Probably Robert. So we're just going to kind of pick and choose. First verse, who's believed our report? How has this new covenant come to you? By you earning it?
No.
By you believing what was said and acting on it, taking it in and acting on it. By faith. And then let's go down to verse 4. Surely our griefs, that word sickness, he bore. And our sorrows, our pains, macabre, he carried. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God. What does that mean? The people out there looked at Jesus and said, boy, he must have really ticked off God because look at what he's doing to him. Yet it was for you, because of his thoughts for you, that he did that. Then the next verse, in verse 5, says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Let me stop there. So our sin and our iniquities were placed upon Him. He, 2 Corinthians 5:21, He who knew no sin was made sin. As terrible as all the physical things that happened were. Back up in Isaiah 52, it says His appearance was so marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men. In other words, He wasn't recognizable as a man. It wasn't because of anything except what? The physical didn't cause that. That spiritual separation from God, the impact of your and my sins on Him. And then He picks it right back up and says, the chastening for our well-being or our peace was upon Him. And by His scourging, we are healed. Now, 1 Peter 2:24 takes it because Jesus has already entered into the Holy of Holies, presented His blood, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and He said, it is finished on the cross, meaning the old covenant, meaning His work of redemption. And when He went to hell, as Jonah was in the belly for 3 days, of the whale for 3 days, what was He dependent on? The covenant that the Father had made with Him. He couldn't have raised Himself up out of there. He had to depend, He had to trust on that covenant, which is exactly what we do. And then jump down to verse 10. So we've come full circle here. But the Lord was pleased. It was His will to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. For he would see his offspring, and he would prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hands. Let me read you the Message Bibles and what it says for that verse. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he gave himself as an offering for sin, so that he would see life come from it. The plan was that he gave himself as an offering of sin so that he would see life come from it. Now that life that he's seeing come from it is Zoe life, the God kind of life. It's not the kind of life that man was enduring on the earth before Jesus came. And it says, so that he would see life come from it. And then it continues, life, life, and more life. And finally, in God's plan, His pleasure, His thoughts of you will deeply prosper through Him. Galatians 3 talks about we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Didn't say we were redeemed from the law. He fulfilled the law so that we don't have to. But if we'd been redeemed from the law, we wouldn't qualify for its blessings. But He took the curses away from us. And there's two pages in my Bible that says, these are the curses. And I've written down the side, I am redeemed from these. Amen. This is what we have as we celebrate this season that we're in today. Raise your eyes up. Don't settle. Don't give in. It takes faith. It takes standing. Sometimes it's not easy. But the Word tells us that we are girded by His strength. It says we get stronger and stronger as we go in Psalm 84. That says if we will walk under the promises and act on what He says, this is a guarantee He's got for us. People say, don't encourage somebody. It might not come about. That's wavering. That's being tossed to and fro. All I see is it please the Lord to bruise him so that those bruises, those welts on his back, which is literally what that word means, would bring me healing. Already purchased, already available. So what do? We boldly, well, back up. Jesus was raised from the dead. made alive again, raised up, and seated with the Father. You've been made alive again, raised up, and we are seated in the heavenly places. From His perspective, it looks pretty good. From that seated perspective that we're in, it looks really good. Don't make this so hard. Don't make it about yourself. When we make it hard, we're letting pride get in the way. You got something? I thought you did.
Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 12 real quick. Thank you, Lord. I'd actually gotten this right before Minton had said, you know, that it's pretty good where we're seated right now, right? And I think something that really stood out to me from the message today was that Jesus oftentimes would look up. And I totally agree with what Minton's perspective is on that, is that when the Lord would look up, He's not just looking at a pretty blue sky. He's not just looking at something natural, but He was focused and fixed on His Father and what God wanted to do. He was looking into the Spirit and He was seeing something different. And I believe when we see where we're seated, what we have, what God is, and what He's done for us, it will change our perspective toward operating here in the natural. Well, here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 24, notice this. It said, "But you have come to Mount Zion." Now, this is not saying this is a place you're going one day. You have already come to this. Why? Through the new birth. When you are born again, your name is registered in heaven, written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. So you've already come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. We're already in the city of God right now.
Amen.
Because we're already seated there. It's already been done. It's, as far as God's concerned, it's already done. The heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. This means that we are surrounded with God's messengers, God's ministers of salvation. We're surrounded. So what can the enemy ever do to us? To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven.
Amen.
Thank God our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. Hallelujah. To God the judge of all, listen to this, to the spirits of just men made perfect. And I'm here to tell you today, you are one of those just, righteous men and women whose spirits have been made perfect in the presence of our Father. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Amen. See, we're right in the presence of Jesus right now. To the mediator of the new covenant and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. What was Abel's blood speaking? Judgment. Judgment. But the blood of Christ is speaking justification. Justification. That's the song of heaven that's being declared around us right now. So I want us to stand on our feet. Yes.
That next verse, see to it that you do not refuse Him.
Yes. Refusing the grace message and what Christ has done for you. This is what God is speaking to us. This is where you're at. This is where you're positioned. This is who's around you. This is who you are. So let's stand on our feet and let's close our eyes right now. And let's lift our head up. And I want you to see this now, okay? This is where you're at. I want you to imagine right now that you have come to Mount Zion. Do you see yourself there? To the city of the living God. You're in the very city of God right now. The heavenly Jerusalem. And you're surrounded by an innumerable company of angels right now. Do you see all those angels surrounding you to guard you and keep you? To the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, you're surrounded by all the saints who are registered in heaven. And this is what Jesus said we're to rejoice in. Not that the demons are subject to us, not of all these benefits of our salvation, but that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. To God, the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect, and you're included in that. And you've come unto Jesus now. You see Him? The mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that's speaking over you, justified, justified, justified. You are justified and made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. So how much more does God want to give you? So much more. Healing in your body, freedom from the pains, total redemption, spirit, soul, and body. It is yours now. Hallelujah, Jesus.
And isn't that what Psalm 138, I think it's verse 9 says? Put your hand on your body. The Lord... Say this with me. The Lord
will perfect
that which concerns me.
That which concerns me.
Now say it this way, because we're on the other side of the cross. The Lord
has perfected
that which concerns me.
That which concerns me.
Receive it.
Amen.
Receive that perfection. Now, it's not, we'll get our resurrected bodies one day, but we get first fruits now. So receive those first fruits of that perfection, of that illness, going away, carried away.
Yes.
See it being already being taken away. Look out in the distance, and you might just see a dust trail of where it's gone.
That's right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now say this with me. Say, I am
the spirit
of just men.
I'm made perfect.
Say, I'm made perfect.
I
am just.
I'm just.
I am spirit. Not body.
Amen.
Glory to God.